We're doing a bit of a joint sermon today. Anne and I have both written some thoughts on this morning's gospel in light of our imminent return to worshipping in our church. So something that jumped out at me about the gospel passage that seemed especially interesting for us this week was that phrase, "zeal for his house consumed me." Jesus was doing all these things because of his zeal for the temple. And that got me thinking about the importance of places, the importance of doing particular things in particular places, and what that might mean to us now, this week, as for the last time, we're meeting not in our particular place, but online. So, do we have zeal for the building of St. Swithin's? Or maybe there's some other phrase you'd use to describe your feelings for our church. It's interesting that although Jesus had zeal for the temple, he certainly wasn't uncritical of what was going on in the temple. And in fact, his actions were really disruptive to people who were just trying to perform the usual ceremonies there. So if we do have zeal for St. Swithin's, is our zeal for the memory we have of St. Swithin's in normal times, or of the rather different COVID-safe service we'll be having next week? Or is it zeal for some idealised version of the service, as we think it might have been in the distant past, or could be in the future? So as we prepare to return, I'd invite everyone to think about what they feel is essential about our services. Is there something essential that's now missing? Maybe communion. Alternatively, it's possible that someone here has found some deep meaning in the Zoom services that won't be there next week, and they'll miss it when we're back in church. But if we do have zeal for our church building, we seem to express it with English reserve. In the last year, we've been through dramatic changes to our services, changes that would usually take centuries. And our reaction to this has looked more like resigned weariness than zeal. When we come back, or maybe when we come back properly, able to hug, sing and drink coffee, it might be worth reflecting on what is important to us about our house of God, and what it should be and what it could be. Or maybe you're now thinking that doing things in the right way in the right place means less to you than you thought. That God can still be worshipped just as easily on a comfy sofa as in church. But that still raises the question of what's the essential aspects of a church. It's often said that the church is the people, not the building. But then, what are the essential aspects of a church that we should have zeal for, which mark it out from any other group of people?
Leon introduced us to the importance of place. And as Leon has already said, here we are a week before some of us return to worship in church, in spirit, of course, with others who continue to worship from home. Although our building closed in January, our worship has certainly continued in new and exciting ways. And I'm often inspired by Juliet's many creative ideas to sustain our worship, through audio, on Zoom, by preparing PowerPoint slides, choosing music, pictures, liturgy, writing sermons. That's an awful lot of preparation to fit in week by week. But it's been such a vital way of including everyone, wherever we may be, and with whatever technology we have had to hand. Interestingly, this morning's gospel reminds us God can't be restricted to one special place. It's also an uncomfortable picture of Jesus driving out storeholders with a whip of cords. Can we imagine the upset this caused? And moreover, the offence of Jesus' words, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." No one could possibly have understood why Jesus was referring to the temple of his own body. Whether we find the picture of Jesus using a whip of cords uncomfortable, are we better placed today to interpret Jesus' message? With hindsight, perhaps we can understand a bit better that Jesus was actually pointing to himself. He challenged people to think bigger than the temple, the building at the core of the whole identity. By drawing attention to himself, Jesus pointed to a new reality, that God is fully present in humanity too. Therein lies the hope that we don't need to stay in one place or worship in the same way to meet God. Reflecting on the past 10 months, how have you met God in new and different ways, even if a Zoom meeting sometimes reminds us of the Muppet Show? I'm sure God understands our need for familiarity and to connect once more with sacred traditions that draw us closer to God, especially after a year of so much upheaval and change. These are an important part of our Christian story too. Connecting to our past is important, but so too is the way we move forward. And it'll be really fascinating to see how churches do journey forward. How will we mix the old and new together? Jesus' followers were sent out to share the hope of Christ for everyone. Had the disciples stayed in one place and just done the same things, where would Christianity be today? I'd like to finish with some words from Rowan Williams from his latest book on faith, hope and love in a time of pandemic. It's from a reflection about communion. In his own words, he writes, "Of course, we all long for the restoring of the possibility of gathering and sharing in the way we are used to. But in this period, when we are limited in our access to the sacrament, we can focus on two things. One is simply the fact of having discovered new ways of including people. It's become part of the way we relate to a wider public. Not by great compelling displays of our national importance, but by patient and imaginative thinking about what makes sense in our local environment and what actually speaks to the needs of those around us. Amen."